This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details. It's better
over here. After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to four lines via virtual prepaid card. Allow 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device, credit, service, ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And together we have the podcast Office Ladies.
Just because we finished rewatching The Office does not mean we're going anywhere.
Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories from The Office and our friendship with brand new guests. Plus, you can revisit all the Office Ladies rewatch episodes every Monday with new bonus tidbits before every episode.
So follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Byfield looking for the tip, now right in front. Couple of whacks at Lukanen. He's not sure where it is. Kempe with a chance. He can't get it to the net. Shot blocked again. And that one is hurting. And Lukanen with a loose puck at the far post. Sprawling backwards, arm to arm. Making the stop at the side of the net. And a penalty call on the play. Ukko-Pekka Lukanen in tight. Looking good. He's going to have to stay that way.
And stay that way he did. Ukko-Pekka Lukanen with a brilliant performance in net for the Sabres last night, making 23 saves on 23 shots faced in a 1-0 win over the Kings. Brayton Wilson, Paul Hamilton here with you, filling in for Sabres Live today here on WGR. Right now we go to the Wester Hotline, and we're joined by Rob Ray, Sabres color analyst, joining us right now on the Wester Hotline here on WGR. Rob, whereabouts are you right now? Are you out at lunch enjoying one of your nice spots to enjoy the food out there in California?
No, it's a little early for that. I finally just got up and came down and experienced some nice California coffee down here.
Right, I forgot. I forget the time change.
It's sunny. It's extremely warm, and I don't even really know Newport Beach. Maybe we're at.
I don't know.
Now, are you and Dan going to go to Slater's 50-50 where they had that ground beef and ground bacon that we had a couple of years ago?
I'll tell you what. I told Dan at the beginning of this season he had to start eating like a man. Because I was worried about him, because he was like dwindling away, and now he's like a machine. So I might have to put the kibosh on him going to places like even the other day, him and Pinter, they go to In-N-Out Burger. I stood outside and waited, just watch people. I have control; they don't. So I'm getting worried about him. I did not go in.
Wow.
I told Brayton about the Heart Attack Grill.
The Heart Attack Grill is good, hey Paul. How'd you feel after that one?
Hey?
Wow, that you know all these places.
I told them about your milkshake that you thought there was white chocolate on the top, and it was a pat of butter.
It was a pat of butter. I could not believe that.
Well, they don't call it Heart Attack Grill for nothing.
Yeah, no, you're right. And I, the best part about it, I just tell Dan. Dan has nothing else to do, so it's like Dan. We're going wherever we're going. Find out one of those places around the Food Channel, whether on Driver's Diet and Diet. And he looks them all up, and now that's what we hunt for. That's what we try to find and get to. So he does a good job with that.
Why were you playing the drums?
You know what, Paul? Like I said, I've done that periodically back in the day when we were out at establishments or something like that at parties. No, you know what was cool about it? It was a Guitar Center. And, I mean, there was thousands of guitars in this place, and then drums as well. But you could sit at the drums and you could just beat the crap out of these drums, but nobody heard you. It was just you with the headphones on. You were the only one that was able to hear what you were doing. So you could have sat there all day and just hammered the crap out of them, and nobody standing 3 feet from you could even hear it.
It sounds like my experience at karaoke. You're belting out as loud as you can. And you think, someone's hearing me. It's just like, nah, it's a bar. No one's hearing you sing karaoke.
Yeah, and the drunker you get, the more you feel that you did a better job, right?
Yes, very true. Absolutely. Rob Ray, Sabres color analyst on MSG and here on WGR, joining us on the Western Hotline here on WGR. Rob, let's circle back to last night's game. Okay. The Sabres bouncing back from a really lackluster performance on Saturday, coming back, and while they were still taking penalties and getting themselves in trouble that way, it felt like yesterday they seemed like they really shut things down, especially in front of Ukko-Pekka Luukkonen, and at the same point Luukkonen stood tall in net and seemed really comfortable in order to help Buffalo bounce back and get an all-important win in the first game of a road trip here.
Well, I was talking to Lindy yesterday, and I'm like, what about the goal and everything? He goes, look, we got to play really well in front of him. We got to give him a chance just to get in there and get settled in. It's been a while. And he was kind of a little bit concerned about it. And what? First, second shift, they gave up an opportunity to L.A., and he stoned him. And I think from that point on, he was just like, okay, I've got this again. And the guys in front of him realized, okay, he's going to be fine. He did make the save when he had to. There was long periods of time without even getting shots, and I think that was probably – a little difficult for him, but when he was called upon, he looked sharp, and he was in his movements. He was there in time. He was there early. He was waiting for shots. He handled the rebounds pretty well. That whole side of it, for missing the amount of time he had, he committed to one. And the guys in front, for the most part, did a good job. I thought, the D for the way L.A. wanted to play. They're a bigger team. They want to get the front of the net. I thought they did a pretty good job of buying some time in front as well.
Rob, when it became a 6-on-5, Sabres got caught into the zone. Like, Tuck played 322. The rest of them played around 244, somewhere in there. But when they got in there and they couldn't get the puck out, did you see the desperation? I mean, there were four block shots that I counted. I went back and counted in that area. I think Cousins had two, Tuck had one, Jokiharju had one. When you're tired like that and you get caught like that, did they get away with it because of the desperation that they were playing with?
But they played like that throughout the game too. Like, there was a lot of block shots. Like, Malmstrand, that shot he hit in the side, I couldn't believe he came back. It was a couple minutes again. But you're starting to see that a little more and more, realizing that that's the game you got to play at that certain time. You got to know the time and score. And when desperation time has to kick in, then bang. But I don't know really. Like, last night when they're blocking shots, when they get caught out there, L.A. wasted a tremendous amount of time on the outside because the Sabres did a really good job of taking the middle of the ice away. They couldn't penetrate. So they're just going around the outside, in hope that something was going to break down, and a couple of Fiala took a couple desperate shots and that. But they really never gave them up too much. The one play, Byfield over the corner of the net, where he could have maybe got his stick on and end up breaking a stick, but whoever the D was, I'm not sure who it was over there, did a nice job of just tying that stick up where he wasn't able to touch the puck. So, to be out there for 3 minutes, yeah, it's a long time. But I think the way they played, it helped them because they played smart. They weren't chasing all over the place. They just allowed them to keep them to the outside, and that's smart hockey.
Sabres color analyst Rob Ray joining us on the Western Hotline here on WGR. Brayton Wilson, Paul Hamilton filling in for Sabres Live today. Rob, really interested in terms of the makeup of the forward group right now. Obviously, we've seen, Tage Thompson dealing with his injuries. We saw Yuri Kulik making the jump to center last night, and Lindy Ruff continuously shuffling the lines around to seeing what's working, what's not working out on the ice. And for the most part last night, it seemed like the combinations that he had were going for the most part and being productive at both ends of the rink. What do you make of the current makeup of some of these lines and the combinations that Lindy's trying to work out? I know that, like, Sam Lafferty is making a jump up to the second line with Cousins and Benson, and then he's just trying to make things work while we wait for Tage Thompson to come back.
Yeah, and I think it's really important for any coach to experiment when he has a chance to see what works. And not too often do you see, the same thing night after night after night after night. Because the problem now is there's guys in and out of the lineup so much. So you have to know who's going to maybe – he may realize that these three guys can play well together, and that's kind of stored in the back of his head for down the road. And, okay, they did pretty well. Okay, I may be able to come back to that at some point. But I think you see he kind of leaves two guys together in most cases, and then the third guy's just kind of switched in and out. But for the most part, like even last night, Cooley going back to center, I thought he did a really good job. Other than maybe the first shift or two when he was in his own zone, he got kind of chasing a little bit and kind of running around. But after that, he really settled down. And I'm watching across the bench. Every time he would come off, Seth or Lindy would kind of have a little conversation with him and talk to him and maybe doing a little coaching and reminding him of where he's supposed to be and what he's supposed to. And by, you know, partway through that first period, doing a great job. The combinations are going to change every day with this guy, and he's always been like that. And like I said, he may lead two guys, but there's that third guy is always going to be subbed in and out, and these guys have to learn to play with each other. But I don't – like right now, you're talking about combinations. I thought last night – I don't know if there was a line. I thought the fourth line, you know, Malestein and those guys did an excellent job. And the top line, when they had the control to play. So I thought Cousins played very well last night. You know, helping his cause out a little bit to try to get himself rolling. Benson, every place we go into, Benson is the guy that every commentator, every person is like, man, this kid's good, this kid. So, you know, getting the attention. So my point is, do I like the combination? Yeah, but they're going to change, and they're going to change every day until he maybe gets a point where he gets set and everybody's healthy.
Rob, I think with the penalty problem still was a problem last night, and I think you're uniquely qualified to answer this question because, well, no, in your career, yeah, you got, what, 900 minutes in penalties a year, but you rarely put your team shorthanded. And that's the thing. You played tough. You got into the corners and battled. You got in front of the net and battled. You just what Lindy Ruff wants his players to do.
Yeah.
So my question is, how do you walk that line between playing hard, playing tough, battling hard, but not crossing that line of the penalties? Because I thought, as I said, you rarely put your team down. You would just get in fights and misconducts and that kind of stuff, running up your penalty minutes.
Well, you got to control your emotions. I think, you know, certain guys, after maybe getting involved physically, it's not it escalates in their head from, oh, this is just what I'm supposed to do, is leaning into guy hitting and this and that, to, oh my gosh, you know, and they lose control. They get fired up a little too much, and you got to learn to just kind of control that emotion a little bit more, especially at certain times. But you also have to understand, I think a big part for myself, you know, as far as the fighting side and all that, that I was taught over time, you know, Rick Dudley did a good job with it, you know, John Van Boxmeer, Ryan Box, when to and when not to, of knowing the score, knowing the time of the game, knowing the situation. And it's the same thing for being physical and maybe being overly physical. There's times where you can go out and you can be overly physical. There's other times where, hey, that light's got to go on and go, oh, okay, I got to be careful here. You know, I can push it, but I can't push it that far, you know, over the limit. So I think it's just a matter of them trying to find that sweet spot and maybe learning that, because I'll tell you, for myself, it wasn't easy. It took a long time. And sometimes it even took the coach on the bench going, okay, probably now's a good time, you know, and it's like, okay, but over time you kind of learn that. But I think when you're trying to ask guys to do something they really haven't ever done, like the physical side, like there's a lot of those guys that have never been asked to play that way, never in their lifetime. I talk to Owen Power. Owen goes, I go, how physical were you, you know, when you were younger? He goes, I couldn't be physical because I was so much bigger than everybody else. He goes, every time I go to hit somebody, I'd get a penalty. So I had to pull way back and not be physical, or I was going to sit in the box all the time. So now you're trying to turn that switch back on to become physical, and then understanding after years and years and years of, you know, time and place and when to, when not to, and how far you can push it. So I think it's just going to take a little bit of time with these guys to figure that out. There's an odd one that needs to just take a pill and just relax a little bit at times because they're trying to do too much. But I think that comes from other practice.
You said about talking to coaches. I mean, how come? I remember you telling me like it was double, triple overtime. You were standing there with Muckler, and you said, "Hey, I'm well rested. Put me out there." How come he wouldn't put you out there when you're so well rested for overtime?
You know that game. That game was the New Jersey game at home, the Dave Hannon goal game, and it was like, I don't know what time did it get over? 2 o'clock.
It was
or something?
10 of 2. It was 1:50 in the.
It was like 1:40 in the morning. I remember looking up, and I'm standing behind the bench with the coaches because I felt bad. I was taking the seat for the guys. And I look at Mux, and I go, you know what, Mux? I usually do my best work this time of night. Why don't you give me a shot? He looks at me, and he goes, not tonight, you're not. And I'm like, okay. So that was the best part. Look, there's a situation right there where it was tense, and it was like next goal wins, and you played forever. And all of a sudden being able to have that relationship and be able to be comfortable to say that. And it was probably good for him, too, just to kind of break it up a little bit and get him thinking about something else other than what was, you know, happening on the ice. So, I don't know. I always tried to have fun with it. It didn't matter the time and place.
Rob Ray joining us.
You scored a big overtime goal in Rochester.
Yeah, I did, yeah.
You wound up in the net. The goalie was in the net. The puck was in the net, but it was an overtime goal.
I didn't score many goals, Paul, but a lot of them were really nice or really big goals.
Yeah, they were. The game that comes to mind for me, Paul, is the game 4 against Toronto here in Buffalo in 99, the conference final.
Game 5, I think. Game 5, wasn't it?
Game, I don't remember what it was.
It was in Buffalo,
yeah. Then we went to the next game and we beat them up there.
Yes, yes.
And we had to win. So I think it was game 5, so we beat them at 6, right?
Okay. I don't remember.
And I'll tell you what, Braden, the Leafs have not been the same since.
Yeah, no, they haven't. You're not wrong there.
Trying to find themselves ever since.
Well, Paul, Rob, we appreciate the time that you've carved out for us in sunny California. Enjoy the rest of your time there. And also, I don't know if we've had you on since the big announcement earlier this year with you eventually going into the Sabres Hall of Fame this season. And congratulations on that as well.
Well, I thank you very much, guys. Appreciate it. Paul, I expect you to be there that night, too.
I'll be there because I got to give you your notes so you know what to say during the broadcast.
And he's taking you to Heart Attack Grill after.
I write a speech. If you guys are good at that, let me know.
Brayton's the writer. I might have to let him do that.
I'll see what I can do. Thanks, Rob.
All right, guys. Take care. Have a good day.
You as well. Rob Ray joining us on the Western Hotline. We'll step aside and we'll come back, wrap things up, and then we'll Paul, they only gave us an hour today. I feel like we could talk for 3 hours today, but they only gave us an hour, and we got to move over afterwards for Derek and Zach.
So we can continue our Travel Channel stuff with Dan tomorrow.
Sure. I'm fine with that as well. So we'll come back and wrap things up here in a moment on WGR.